final week, your final days of campaigning before the state election. Maybe you've already pre-polled, as some people have. But we're going to be focusing on the electorate of Kiama here at ABC Illawarra Drive, the people who are standing to represent the community in state parliament. Kiama, as we know, has been represented by Mr. Gareth Ward for the last 12 years. My guest today is one of the candidates hoping to change that. Dr. Tonya Gray is a Greens candidate for Kiama and has made time to come up to join me in the studio from Berry. Welcome, Dr. Gray.
Thank you very much, Lindsay. Please call me Tonya.
Tonya, leaving your horses alone in Berry?
I did, all 13 of them.
If my wife is listening, she's getting very jealous right now. Look, apart from that, from your horses, if anyone hasn't heard of you before, who is Dr. Tonya Gray?
Well, it's funny, you're just talking about university students. I'm a professor at a university. Right. I was at Wollongong for 22 years. Now I'm at Western Sydney. I've been there for 12 years. I'm on the Senior Professoriate Leadership Panel. So, yes, big experience in leadership and governance. But my master's is in community health and my doctorate in education. So they are actually my sweet spot, health and education. But obviously climate is huge now. We've just broken so many records over the weekend, didn't we? 30-odd? Yeah, so we've gone into unknown territory. Like, we're having the ice at such a precarious level in Antarctica. The sea is so warm. I know you surf. It's been warm for a long, long time, and people are always talking about this. So, yes, why go into politics? But let's clean it up. Let's get integrity, transparency.
Well, why state politics? Why Kiama? Because obviously the council as well has been something that you've been interested in before as well. So why Kiama?
Well, I am still a Shoalhaven councillor, so I've seen at a local level how hard it is to get traction. And the real action happens in state, even down to our disaster money and the roads, etc. That has to be fed through. So I believe I can have more impact, especially in education. We're seeing that we're losing teachers at sort of epidemic proportion, isn't it? One in five leave, and they're usually our best and our brightest. We know that there's unsafe practices going on in hospitals with nurses' ratios, paramedics, you know, with the stories we hear there. Everything seems to be in crisis, but you know what? COVID didn't break us. 12 years of a coalition government has done so.
So on the campaign trail, what are the locals in the Kiama electorate speaking to you about?
Oh, without a doubt, housing and cost of living. That's a big one, because our electricity prices are going up due to being privatised. Everything should come back to the public purse, by the way. The fact that their rents seem to be going up, and they've got to pay their landlords rent hikes because the mortgage has gone on, we should be freezing that and, in fact, giving longer-term rent leases. We hear Sweden has 30-year contracts. Doesn't that give us continuity and, you know, some sort of security for the future? Because your home is your sanctuary and your refuge. Everyone should feel like they can come home to a home where they belong. Now, we know in Shoalhaven, for example, the housing crisis, we're turning away 30%, we're at over 30% capacity already, turning away 48% of those really vulnerable people. So where I want to go now is to be the voice of the voiceless, because the social justice, the inequity divide has gotten wider. And that's where we can be the voice of those people who don't have a voice.
Now, if elected, you would sit on the crossbench. I feel that, you know, that is the way it's going to work out. How would you provide for Kiama from that position?
I think, like anything in any workplace, affiliative and collaborative work, that's the environment you should bring to that. It wouldn't matter if it's blue or red or green or yellow or purple or whatever. We should be there for our constituents, and everyone should be on that same page. So, yes, I know how to work and bring people with me along the way, because as a university lecturer, all of the ups and downs that we have in that space. I've also been trained by one of the best in the world, which was Christiana Figueres when I went to Antarctica. She was the lady whose soul, you know, did get cop 15 right. agreement. I've been so lucky with the leadership training.
What were you doing in Antarctica?
I was chosen as one of 80 women to go as the world leaders to bring back that knowledge and science, and right. hence the reason I'm standing, because I came back in 2019. I'd been to Antarctica then. We were in the midst of the worst droughts. We then had the Black Summer fires. We then had floods. We then had COVID. It just seems like we bounced from one natural disaster to the other, and I said to myself, if I don't stand up now, well, how can I talk to my grandkids in years to come and say, at least I did everything humanly possible to change the direction we're going in? And that's why I'm standing.
Dr. Tonya Gray is with us, the Greens candidate for Kiama. Someone here who doesn't put their name on it has said, Kiama has had no representation for more than 12 months. Surely the public need a change with Labor or the Greens. Look, I just want to talk, if you want to answer
just
that.
Just one other little thing. There's never been a woman in the seat of Kiama in the 100 odd years of government. So isn't it time we bring more capable women to that leadership table?
I'm going to talk about Kiama Council. They're in the middle of working through some very complex financial decisions, millions of dollars in debt. They want to return the council to profitability. You recently called on Labor leader Chris Minns to rescue Blue Haven Nursing Home from privatisation. How do you think Kiama Council should manage their financial issues without, if you don't want them to sell Blue Haven?
Well, let's peel that back a little bit, of being the voice of the voiceless. Those elderly have paid taxes all their life. A true measure of society is how they treat their most vulnerable and the elderly. So my mother is in there. She's in the high care nursing unit. We know if it gets privatised, the cost will go up, the quality will go down. We've seen it in Bombala, a marginal swing seat. LNP have given them, miraculously, $15 million. So why can't we, with a marginal seat, call on Minns to say, this is a chance for you to really walk your talk here and show us how we can bring back that to our area. Not only that, the books have never been transparently given to people, the councillors in that chamber. I have good friends in that chamber. They have fought so hard, but they get stonewalled every time. So there seems like a lot of smoke and mirrors, and it seems like it's trying to be fast-tracked through without really taking stock. This is the most amazing, valuable public asset, which cannot be and should not be whisked away at a time when prices are dropping anyway. They should at least hold on to one thing, and they've always had a beautiful standard in that place. Why undo something that is already working?
Well, have you heard from, there's the federal representatives as well as state representatives. Fiona Phillips has been vocal about saving Blue Haven in the past. Have you heard?
Has been in the past, but very silent recently. Isn't that quite ironic? So I don't know why they've gone quiet, but the one who did speak up was the ex-mayor, Sandra McCarthy, and she outlined 40 years of history there, and she said so eloquently why this should be the jewel in the crown for Kiama Council, and they should actually value one thing that, you know, they can put the stake in the ground and say, we are doing this well as a public asset.
Dr. Tonya Gray is with us. The New South Wales Greens have a plan to address First Nations justice. Now, firstly, the referendum to establish an enshrined voice to Parliament. Do you support the voice of Parliament?
Yeah, that's a no-brainer, isn't it?
What about First Nations justice? How would the Greens establish the other aspects of the steps, the treaty, the truth-telling process? How do you think that should happen?
Well, the Greens are the first ones to adopt it in total, so let me just put that on the table. But it's about self-determination of First Nations people, and in that process we walk with them side by side as we come to that sort of agreement at the end. And I just wish people would realise that we are the only colonised country in the world that doesn't have a treaty. So that's something I'm not proud of, and I doubt any of us who've got a moral compass would be proud of.
What about, you mentioned going to Antarctica, coming back, the environmental protection is one of your campaign points. What's the biggest environmental problem facing Kiama?
Well, there's quite a few. We've got agritourism, which really is wedding functions on steroids, wanting to be coming, rebranding themselves to be there, when agriculture on this fertile eastern seaboard is must be protected at all costs. Like, you drive down to Berry, the first thing you notice after doing the bends is that beautiful vista of ocean and green grass.
Which is a great place to have a wedding.
Exactly. But really, do they understand agriculture? I'm putting that in inverted commas, because all they want is a photo opportunity, don't they?
So how do you balance both of those things?
Well, you know, it's been a really interesting conundrum to face, because we as Shoalhaven didn't want it. We voted to opt out. Macquarie Street, or the planning minister, overruled that. So one of the big things I want to bring back to this state government is local decision making should be the primary makers of those decisions, because they know the true impact of what's happening at a local level. Something made at a distant office by some bureaucrat elsewhere is not going to answer those questions.
Which will be quite close to your office if you're elected and you're at Macquarie Street. But you want, so if you are elected to state parliament, you want to still focus on the local.
You should never lose sight of the local, because I've been born and bred here, Lindsay. I was born in Wollongong Hospital, grew up my first 10 years in Port Kembla, in a multicultural, still working place. I know how hard it is to come from underprivileged, and then go on to get a Whitlam scholarship, and then one thing after the other allows you to be a professor. A lot of kids nowadays don't see that as an aspirational goal because of the barriers that they're facing. So I would love to bring back all these opportunities to our young, because they're our biggest and brightest future, and each day.
Well, yeah, the young won't necessarily be voting. When voters are standing in the booth this Saturday, they're staring at the ballot, still unsure. What's your final message for them?
My final message is never, ever before have we had such an opportunity to have the balance of power in the upper house. Vote one Greens there, that's box R. But down here in the lower house, it's a strong message, if we believe in everything I've mentioned there, that a vote of one Green and to Labor sends a powerful message to the government that we aren't happy, we want change.
Okay, Dr. Tonya Gray, thank you so much for coming in today.
Oh, absolute pleasure.
You're listening to ABC Illawarra. I'm going to put on a little bit of